In the church, today is known as Christ the King Sunday. It's a day that we focus on our understanding that Jesus is, as the scripture affirms, and Handel so memorably taught us to sing, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. The gospel lesson for today comes from John's telling of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. It's a scene from that whole sequence of events in Jesus' not very legitimate arrest and then his so-called trial. The highest local representative of the Imperial Roman government is interviewing Jesus, and from the conversation recorded, we learn that confusion about what it means to say that Jesus is king is not exactly new. This is John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of your people?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not one of you, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The nature of Jesus' kingdom matters, because if Jesus is directly threatening the Roman emperor's status as king above all kings and lord above all lords, Pilate is duty-bound because of his position to put Jesus to death. Trying to find an answer to that key question, "Are you a king and what are your claims?" Pilate seems not really to be able to find the evidence that he's looking for that would require a conviction. At the same time, if you keep reading on from here, you will see that Pilate also fails to find the courage to stand up to the angry mob demanding a crucifixion. In the end, he allows Jesus to be paraded before the crowd, wearing a crown of thorns that's been mashed down on his head and wrapped in a royal purple robe meant to mock him. Pilate lets himself be manipulated by the people he's supposed to be governing, and Jesus dies on a cross bearing an inscription, "King of the Jews." This is not exactly the kind of triumph we might expect would attract followers. But in fact, ultimately it did. The crucified and risen Christ did attract followers, lots of us. So what kind of king is Jesus? How do we experience his rule? Why do we celebrate the promise of his eternal reign? By way of exploring those questions, today I'm going to pass on a story which may help us to remember why our love and our loyalty rest with Jesus. He himself was a storyteller, and over the generations since he first came to be among us, many of us have found stories to be a helpful way of teaching and learning the truth of Jesus. This particular story is about a kingdom in which the king has gone missing, not suddenly and without preparation, but deliberately, because the king was young and he felt not really entirely equipped to rule. I think I need to go see and meet people of lands other than my own. I want to learn to be useful the way other people learn to be useful, this young king had said before departing. I'm going to become a pilgrim, and when I come back, perhaps then I will deserve to be your king. And so it was arranged that various ministers would handle the necessary responsibilities, and at first everything was fine. over time, the people of the kingdom began to feel sad that the palace was vacant, and they had no real and worthy focus for their loyalty and their devotion. They longed for their king, and so they sent out messengers to all the neighboring kingdoms, asking if he had been seen, but he had not. No one had news of him. And every Advent season, their longing became especially poignant as the royal halls were lit and decorated in preparation for once again observing the ancient tradition of welcoming all of the citizens of the kingdom into the palace for the celebration on Christmas Eve. Every year, the common people and the government officials alike gathered in the hopes that this year would be the year that the king would return and celebrate with them. After a while, so many years had gone by, they began to wonder if they would even recognize their king if he should come back. But they never worried about being tricked by an imposter, because the true king was the only one who knew how to open the special safe where the crown was kept. Not even the most trusted of the advisors and ministers had been given that secret. Now, in this kingdom, there lived a boy who was being raised by a guardian because his parents had died when he was very young. Before they died, however, they had given him a small picture of the king, and they had talked a great deal about the king's admirable qualities. And so this boy, his name was Anders, treasured that picture, and he joined his fellow citizens in longing for the king's return. In fact, so eager was he for everything to be made right again that he began personally to keep an eye out for the king wherever he went. He had looked so often at that picture and been so struck by the eyes of the king, which seemed so fine and so friendly, he was just certain that he would be able to recognize them anywhere. He began to spend every moment of his free time walking around the city, even walking out into the countryside, trying to meet strangers and looking into people's faces. At night, he would lay in bed dreaming of finding the king. Sometimes he stayed awake most of the night trying to think of new places where he could look. In the year that Anders turned 12 years old, he resolved that he would spend his entire school break seeking for the king. Every day he would pack a lunch so that he could spend every daylight hour walking around and searching and exploring. He kept this up for several weeks, and then he learned that a terrible disease had arrived in his city, which was the city where the palace was located. Many people were falling sick. So many, in fact, that a huge empty building was found and turned into a temporary hospital where people, especially people without families to care for them, could be tended to. I should probably go check in the hospital, the boy said to himself one day. If the king is traveling as a pilgrim, and if he gets sick with this plague, he may well have to go to the hospital as a man without a home. Imagine if he is ill and lying alone in that immense place. Or, thought the boy, if he is as good of a king as we all believe that he is, and he's not sick, I might expect him to visit the hospital to see if there's anything that he could do for his suffering people. So I had best go to the hospital and figure out how to get inside. The next day, Anders went early in the morning to the entrance of the hospital and was turned away because he wasn't sick, he wasn't a nurse, he wasn't a doctor. But he was not the sort, as you know by now, to give up easily. And so he walked around the side and then around the back of the massive building until he saw a small door. It was closed, but he sat down nearby and waited to see what might happen. Before long, the door opened, and a man that Anders took to be the janitor came out carrying two pails of garbage to be emptied. Anders hurried over to help, and then he asked the man if he might enter the hospital through this back door. "Why do you wish to come in here?" asked the man. "Do you have a friend inside?" "Well, maybe I do," said Anders, who was reluctant to tell the real reason that he wanted to come in. He was afraid of being laughed at. But finally, when he saw that the man wasn't going to give any further answer till he knew more, he admitted that he was looking for the king. And he was relieved when his new acquaintance did not laugh at him. Instead, the janitor said, "Aren't you afraid that you might catch the plague?" "Oh, well, I'm young and strong," said Anders. "I doubt that I'll get sick, but even if I did, it would be so worth it if first I could find the king." The janitor thought for a while, and he said, well, you know, I don't really think that I have the right to grant you entrance as a visitor. That's up to the guards at the front door. But if you wish to come in as my helper, bring that bucket and help me carry some water up the stairs so that I can clean the floors there that are waiting for me, and probably you will find yourself where you wish to be. Oh, I'd be very glad to help, said Anders gratefully, and that's how he came to be, lugging water up the narrow stairs inside the hospital. He delivered the washed water, and just as he was setting down the bucket, a nurse saw him and said, young man, would you please come and help me carry this sick man to his bed? Everybody's so busy, I haven't been able to find someone to lift the other end of the stretcher. Certainly, replied Anders, and the man was no sooner settled than Anders heard someone begging for water, so he went to find a glass. And then he saw a patient shivering with a chill, and he searched until he could bring a warm blanket. And from one moment to the next, it seems like something was always needed. And so it was well into the afternoon before he was able to sit down for just a few moments to eat his lunch. And as soon as he was finished, he began again to run errands for the nurses and answer the calls of the sick. As darkness began to fall, Anders started to make his way down to that small back entrance, hoping that he might see the janitor before he left. And sure enough, he found a now very tired-looking man sitting on a stool, eating a bite of late dinner. How's your search for the king going? The man asked. Oof, I haven't even got started, said Anders. There's been way too much to do. Until there's more help for these patients, I don't see how I can give any focus to searching for the king. It was like that for me, too, admitted the janitor. From the moment I first came in here, I saw the need. I saw the need for cleaning and carrying and serving. It was so great. I've really hardly been away for an hour since. Well, then, said Anders, I'm sure that you will be glad to let me in again tomorrow. Yes, indeed, said the man. And so this was Anders' new routine. He'd get up early, pack his lunch, come to the hospital, work all day, and at dark he would go home on tired legs. He was so busy. He saw so much sickness and sorrow that he hardly ever thought about the king. A day came when a nurse stopped him in the hall to feel his forehead. Your face is flushed. Your skin is hot, she said. You had best go lie down. Anders realized in that moment that actually, in fact, his head had been hurting for quite a while, and he felt quite dizzy. He thought he should try to get home, but as he made his way down the stairs to that little back door, he fainted. And that was the last he knew for a very long time. If he'd been aware of what was happening, he would have seen himself being carried to a quiet corner of the hospital, put into a clean cot, and watched over by many of those same nurses that he had been helping for the previous days and weeks. As it was, the days and nights blurred together like a sort of unending, troubled dream. But finally, one morning, Anders was aware of sunlight in the room and of someone bending over him and of a friendly voice calling his name. He opened his eyes and discovered he was looking directly into the eyes above him that were fine and friendly and smiling and somehow seemed utterly familiar. You're the king, he exclaimed. Shh, shh, quiet now, said the voice. You need to sleep, not talk. Have I been sick? Asked Anders. Oh, yes, for quite a long time, came the answer, but you're much better now, and I think you're going to be out of the hospital before Christmas. The boy was so tired that he couldn't think or say another word. He went back to sleep. The next time he woke up, one of the nurses was sitting next to his bed. Oh, things must be getting a lot better around here, Anders remarked. Otherwise, you certainly wouldn't have time to be sitting by my bed. Yes, agreed the nurse. The situation is much better. The epidemic is receding. Yours was the last really bad case. The hospital's half empty now. Has the janitor from downstairs been here? Was Anders' next question. Oh, yes, said the nurse. He's the one who carried you here. He's been sitting by your bed every night. Is he an old friend of yours? I'd like to see him as soon as he's free, responded Anders. And so the nurse went to get him, and the janitor came. Would you please lean over toward me as you did before so that I can see into your eyes? Anders asked. And then he said, you're the king, aren't you? The man with the calloused hands and the kindly face was silent for a moment, but then he admitted the truth. Yes, he said, I am the king. Anders was so happy he could hardly speak. Oh, you're going to be home for Christmas, is what he finally managed to say. And on Christmas Eve, the two, the man and the boy, dressed in their plain clothes and their gray cloaks, approached the palace together, noticing that it was lit by candles that seemed to mirror the gleaming stars. It looked as though every single person in the kingdom was in the streets and headed for the palace. The people had prepared the festival as always, even though their hearts were subdued because the year had held so much sickness. And some were secretly wondering if the king that they had so long awaited might have gotten sick and died in the plague without anyone even knowing who he was. And so when they reached the main hall in the palace, and the boy said to the Lord Chamberlain that he had found and brought the king, a quiet hush fell instantly over the room. Could it be? They all wondered. The Lord Chamberlain knew his responsibilities. Your Majesty, he said, addressing the man now standing before him, would you be willing to open the treasure chamber and release your crown? The crowd could hardly breathe. This would be the way that they would know if their king had truly returned to them. Impostors had failed this test in the past. Only the true king could succeed. With a slow and dignified and careful gesture, almost as though he was reaching back into the past, the man reached out his hand and moved it lightly over the carvings on the bronze door. The door flew open as if it had been released by a secret spring. Long live the king, people began to murmur, and then happily to shout, long live the king, as the oldest of the royal advisors placed the crown upon the head of the one who not so long ago had been cleaning the floors, emptying the garbage, quietly helping the nurses, and sitting by the bedside of an ailing boy. I know I was gone a long time, said the king. I was becoming acquainted with your sufferings and learning to bear your burdens. I'll go with you now to Christmas worship. And I want you to know that this boy here by my side, this boy Anders, is, from this moment on, my heir. He worked alongside me in a time of terrible trouble, and he alone recognized me. Let him be given a royal robe like mine, and let our songs of praise begin. With full hearts and reverent minds, the people began a quiet chant, expressing their gratitude and trust, a chant which we now echo. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God. Do not be afraid. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. Holy Jesus, you are the King, born in humble circumstances and laid in a manger. You are the King who gave up everything to walk among us as one of us. You are the King who suffered crucifixion and yet could not be deterred from your purpose. You are the way and the truth and the life. When you seem absent, Lord, we wait and we watch for you. When we realize that you are present, we rejoice with deep gladness. We want to be heirs of your kingdom. And so we ask you to help us to walk worthy and remain faithful. We're grateful, Lord, for the days of Thanksgiving just passed, and we pray the coming season of preparation for the celebration of your birth will deepen our awareness of your amazing grace. We pray now as you taught us, joining our voices together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.